Amen.
Let's give those pastors a big hug and love. A round of applause. Amen. You know, we were just blessed with wonderful women around us that bear children, that made them the mother that they are. Without the children, they wouldn't be the mother that they are. And so we just even want to thank the children that are here. Even the grandmoms that had the children with the children that had the children. We are literally running a series right now of the kingdom of God and how to enter into the kingdom of God, but it's a process. You know, and how many of us ever saw the movie The Wizard of Oz? It's a very profound movie. It's been around for a very long time, but that movie reminds me of someone who is longing to come into that kingdom over the rainbow. And they called it Oz back then. And, you know, she entered into a dream state and ended up coming into ruby slippers, which I look at as the gospel of peace. And we surely have the gospel of peace here. I always refer to my gospel. I want to say it's our gospel, those that are under this ministry. But I say it's my gospel because it's this gospel is not like every gospel out there. So the pastors come together and they claim it too. It's their gospel. So if you talk to Pastor Kurt, it's my gospel. If you talk to Pastor Tim, it's my gospel. You talk to Pastor Sam, it's my gospel. Collectively, it's our gospel, but it's really my gospel. And there's not many gospels out there. So when I see this Wizard of Oz movie, I see an individual that has entered into the ruby slippers, the gospel of peace. And those slippers led her down the yellow brick road. And if you ever saw the movie, there was forces that was always wanting those ruby slippers. And it was the evil forces, but the good forces, the good witch, would be always there for her and say, no, keep the slippers, you know, the wonderful slippers, and, you know, that beautiful voice of hers. And then it was like, nice, pretty, I want them slippers, my pretty, and always trying to steal that gospel of peace on her slippers. But then as she followed the yellow brick road, she would get to the kingdom of Oz and then saw the great universe, creator, God behind the curtain. And it's a reality of how to obtain a life. And we need to understand that the life that we're living is not the life that God intended for us. And it's very important to understand this gospel so that you can enter the life that God intended for you. Now, there are a lot of people out there that say, I'm a follower of God. I'm a follower of God. I hear it all over the place. They think it's their faith. They think it's, you know, their religion. But I want to ask us today, what is your definition of the follower of God? And I'm going to share it in the definition of my gospel. The definition of a follower of God is one who is true and honest with themselves and begin to hear their heart, because God is within them. And your heart, in a realistic way of honesty and truth, is God dwelling inside of you. And it's His plan and His purpose for your life. And when you follow your heart, you're actually a follower of God. I want to take the religion completely out of it. It's not about how many works you do. It's not about do's and don'ts and rights and wrongs. It's truly about how to be so honest and transparent within yourself so that you can truly follow God and get on that path. And that path is eternal. It's eternal life. It's not when you die and have eternal life forever and ever and ever. It is actually an eternal life. It's a spiritual life that God has laid out for you on earth. Not many of us really can comprehend this mystery, but we are tossed to and fro trying to live a life based on our understandings or based on our reasons or based on our thoughts or our mind. How many people would grab hold of this? But the reality of it is the gospel message is supposed to separate you from that life and bring you to the life that is inside and eternal for you. And that's why I say my gospel. There's not much gospel out there that is separating your life that you think you're living and bringing you into a true life that has been meant by God for you. And when someone says, I am led by God or I am guided by God, the true gospel message would be, I hear my heart, and I'm tapped into my heart, and I'm going to follow my heart, and I'm going to follow it until death. Now, we're all longing to find peace and joy. And when you are tapped into following your heart, God begins to open up forms of blessings far beyond what you can comprehend or imagine. It's every hope, it's every desire, it's every dream that you can imagine that's inside of you, and it's far above those thoughts. So let's say you have a thought or a desire to have a business, to provide for your children or what have you, and you only see yourself at this certain level, or you can even dream big to say, I'm going to have all these buildings, and I'm going to have all these practices, and I'm going to have all these doctors working for me or whatever it may be. And you can only see so far. But God wants to expand your territory to even further than what you can comprehend or even imagine. And this is how God works in each and every one of our lives. So I say, imagine big. You know, lift your visions higher. And as high as you can reach them, God wants to take you even higher than that. And that's even the beauty of it. And that's what gets us into this place of praise. But at the same time, you have the little wicked witch on the west over there going, my princess, I want them ruby slippers to steal your peace, and I want to take your joy away, and I'm going to put you in that thought pattern of your mind and keep you off that yellow brick road. And the more we are off that yellow brick road, they're literally stealing the life that we have, which puts inside of our spirit or our soul, however you want to label it at this point, these ingredients that I call bitterness, anger, resentment, hatred, condemnation and guilt, shame. And it's causing you to be very unhappy. And what the problem is we live our lives not really fulfilling the fullness that is our potential. And we mask it with things, and we hide, and we put ourselves with a facade, and we paint a pretty picture that everything is okay. But the reality is we're tired and we're weary and we have no life. Even though we have a life, because you can pinch me and you can feel me and, you know, and things like that, but it's not the eternal life. It's not the real life. And when I say eternal, everyone would think like the space life, afterlife, but you have to take the word eternal. How about internal? Internal. There is some life that is living inside of us that needs to be resurrected. It needs to be brought out so that we can actually truly have happiness. Now, when you enter that yellow brick road, you get on that path, you begin to live that life that God has for you, you're honest with yourself, and you begin to take the stand to say, this is who I am, this is what I want, this is what I like, this is what I'm going to venture into, and you begin to live that life, you're going to begin to start feeling supernaturally peaceful. Right now, you're not getting what you want. And that is what's robbing us from our peace and our joy and our happiness. That's what's robbing ourselves from having a life. We're not getting what we want. How many people would agree with that? We're in a form of bondage. We're in a form of slavery. But when we break free of the bondage and the slavery and begin to start experiencing what we want, you might not get what you want from the very beginning. Time has a lot to take place, okay? But when you get on the path and you know that it's in front of you because you're heading towards it, peace begins to start working on your behalf. You begin to get washed over by this peace that surpasses all understanding. But as soon as you step off of the path, you're encamped around these seeds of darkness that I spoke about: bitterness, anger, resentment, hatred, envy, strife, and guilt and shame. And I want to talk about guilt and shame for a moment, because guilt and shame is what really robs, I think, the life out of us. That's why the Bible talks about there is no condemnation in Christ. And Christ is, I want to say, is like the path, the golden brick road. God is the eternal life, his commandments and his way and his will. And when we walk in that, and I would say the Spirit is really your act of walk. So when you combine all three of them, you come into an eternal life that gives you the necessity that you need to breathe. How many of us ever felt smothered? I just need to breathe. I just want to breathe. I was encamped by this nasty cold, whatever it was. I couldn't even call it a cold. It was a bronchitis thing. And, you know, thank God for Rachel and Jim Franklin. They said, you know what you need? You need the puffer. And I was like, really? I think you're right. And Sam's over here saying, I told you that too. And maybe so, but, you know, I'm sometimes, I don't need nothing, you know, kind of guy. And then I realized I needed something. And I listened to all these little angels coming around trying to help. And finally I submitted to the angels that tried to help. And then I took the puffer. And it was like, oh, my God, I can actually breathe. It was a sense of relief. And when we begin to start taking these senses of relief, it really begins to give you a hunger for more. And you want more and more and more. We need to be give a chance to this gospel message. We need to give this gospel message a chance and begin to understand and believe the truth that is being said, so that we can experience the reality of peace, that you can actually have peace. Now, there's this thing called guilt. And guilt is a big robber. And guilt is always robbing your life. It's creating shame, and it's trying to take you away from breathing and actually smothering you and keeping you in bondage. Guilt is a powerful weapon that darkness uses against you to keep you down, to keep you in a place of saying that there is no hope, there is no way out, there's no possibility of experiencing this. It lies to you, it keeps filling you up with all these thoughtful imaginations, and it literally is a robber of your life. But if you make that determination to sit there and say, what do I want? What am I really looking for? What am I really, really looking for? And begin to start being honest with yourself, because honesty is a big, big key to being set free and coming into a life, coming into this gospel, this good news message. And when you are honest and putting your foot down, you need to make a determination. You have to say to yourself, I am at a point right now that I am so deep underwater, I cannot breathe. I don't want to live my life like this anymore. It's getting to the point where I really need a change, and I have to really do something for myself. Now, I spoke last week on a message about selfishness, and I want to talk a little bit about selfishness right now, because if you don't start becoming selfish with your own life, right now we're in bondage. And right now we have been ingrained that selfishness is bad. How many people have grown up and said, you shouldn't be so selfish. You need to share. You better learn to share. You need to share, share, share. Stop being so selfish. How many of people have really lived that life? Well, I want to commend you for listening to the lie and, you know, begin to reverse the patterns that have been put towards you. Now, they meant well by you being a nice person and sharing, but I also want to say to yourself that if you don't want to share and you're forced to share, or if you're forced to serve or do anything that you don't want, you're going to be miserable. You're going to be unhappy. You're going to be depressed, and you're going to feel bad by beating yourself up. Guilt's going to come in and start saying how bad and how rotten you are to think that way, that you should not want to share. It's going to happen. And it's happening now. And it's destroying us. And we're living with guilt and we don't even know it. We're living with so much guilt, and we're fighting and warring with our subconsciousness. Now, you might not realize this, but inside of you, you're getting beat up. Because you don't want to do it, and you feel like you have to do it, and you're doing it, and you are a mess. And subconsciously, you are getting beat up by being obedient, by being a good person, by doing something that you just don't want to do. How many people are entrapped in that? I mean, we can be honest with you, because I'll tell you what, if we're honest with ourselves, we're all entrapped in it. So when I don't see a hand's up in the air, okay, then I say to myself, okay, you're in bondage. And you know what? You're all going to stay in bondage until you're set free. Now, this is the beauty that happens. Because of all these years, we've been running, you know, in this area of not wanting to be, you know, told that we can't be selfish, and we force ourselves to serve, and we force ourselves to do and to share when we really don't want to. We're miserable and we're unhappy and we're drowning. And I'm going to tell you that besides the obvious, we are also being selfish behind closed doors. We are selfish in the way we are personally. And we're sneaky. We lie because we don't want to be truthful, because then we feel selfish. If we're honest, we're being selfish. This whole pattern, you'd be surprised how it captures ourselves in a full way of being a sneak, a liar, and all that other stuff, even though we don't want to be a sneak and a liar. How many people understand this one? Because you don't want to let them know that you're being selfish, that you're doing something for yourself. We have to be free of this. We have to stop it. And we have to begin to be honest with ourselves. And then also those that are around each other have to stop saying that you're selfish or make people do things that they don't want to do. We have to do it. Now, this is the miracle behind this mystery. You're going to get filled up by doing what you want to do. I'm going to give everybody permission to go do what they want to do. It's no longer selfish. Fill yourself up. Get so filled up in doing what you want to do. Please, do it fast. Because once you're filled up and you realize that you don't have to hide and you don't have to sneak around and you don't have to, let's just say hide again, but you can be open and transparent and honest. Guess what? You're going to start being honest with yourself now. This thing really is powerful, what I'm saying. When you become honest with yourself, you're able to get on that path that I want us to get on faster. Now, let's say you got filled up. You started having permission now that you can do whatever you want to do. No one's going to make you feel guilty or ashamed. No one's going to tell you that you're bad. You're all filled up. You're so filled up, and you know you have power now to do what you want to do. A reverse effect starts taking place. Now you, because of your pure nature, because of the nature that God has created you to be, you begin to serve. You begin to be selfless. And you begin to want to do things for others because you're satisfied. And now that not only are you doing things for others, you're happy because you want to do them. It makes you feel good to do them. And you're more serving now than you were when you were forced to serve. Listen to this beautiful mystery, I'm telling you. Because you're still going to be able to share and give and show that love, but in a more powerful way, because no one's making you or telling you you have to do it. How many people are grabbing what I'm saying? Listen, this transformation can happen very, very quick. It's not a long process. What makes it long is when you still have people putting guilt and shame on you by saying this is something that you have to do. This is something that you need to do. This is some, and you just don't want to do it. We need to make a stand and be this selfish person, but in a righteous way. Not to offend anyone, but make them say to that, make them understand, listen, this is something I really don't want to do. And if I want to do it later, maybe I'll do it. If not, then it's okay. Can you get someone else to do it? Or whatever it might be. Or I just can't make it today or whatever. And let it be okay. Let it be fine. Don't ever put pressure on anyone or yourself. And when you can find this path, then all of a sudden, the things that were causing you to drown and take your energy away and make you miserable or unhappy goes away. And now you have energy, you have power, you have a life to do the things that you want to do. So, for example, let's say you were made to do 5 things that day and you really didn't want to and it drained you and you just were not up to the next day. And now you're forced to do some more things you don't want to do and you force yourself to do it and you're miserable and you're unhappy and you're fighting, trying to find peace, and you're like drowning. And you finally make yourself stand and say, I don't want to do this anymore. You reverse this. You're going to find out that you're going to have so much more energy throughout the day. You're not going to be tired as you were before. You know, I hear everyone out in the world, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. Why are you tired? It's because we all work hard? Do we really work hard? Or is it we're doing something that we really don't want to do? Think about it. Let's just take a moment and think about it. And then, of course, You're going to lie. You're going to say, well, you don't understand. I have to do this and I have to do that. Okay, well, if you have to do it, then come to an agreement with yourself and make yourself understand why you have to do it. Don't make yourself feel guilty because you're doing it. How many people have grabbed this one? Okay? In order for us to get on this path of eternal life, path of having peace and joy, we have to take the things out of our lives that are stealing our peace and joy. And one of the things that are stealing our peace and joy is being forced to do something we don't want to do. I mean, we'd agree with that. Let's take the reality of this gospel. Let's take the truth of this gospel and lay it out. And then begin to walk on the truth. And if we begin to walk on the truth and do things in our lives, we're going to find that we're going to make a difference. One thing is you have to be honest with yourself. Let's say this, okay? I'm going to take a circumstance that robs us from peace and joy. And I like to use work as an example because work seems like we have to do it. How many would give us a big amen on that one? Okay? And children that have to go to school. All right, here's a way of warring with that, because we have to do certain things in our lives. There are certain things in our lives that we have to do, because it's only going to make a better situation in our future. It's only going to make things better. Well, these are the things that we have to say to ourselves and try to talk sense into our spirit. Okay? We have to talk sense to our spirit. And what I mean by talking sense in our spirit, and I like to take work as an example, because how many would like to not do anything all day and just sit around and watch television or whatever, or just do nothing, just lay around? Right? Okay. Now, we all know that that's not good, right? We just know that that's not right. It would be great to do it, but we know it's not right. This is why I say we have to talk sense to ourselves. We have to say to ourselves, if I don't go, I'm not going to be able to produce the income or whatever I need to pay the bills. So then I won't be able to have things to do that I want to do in the future. So to say to you it's healthy to just do whatever you want would be wrong of me. You have to also bring reason and discipline and then come to an agreement and say, okay, this is what I have to do. I have to go to work. Now, when you are able to bring reason into yourself, now you have to change the way you're thinking and be able to make the best of it now. And that's where I like talking to Pastor Kirk, because he always says that, well, I just have to stop the murmuring and the complaining. Well, he's at the end of this message. And he's at the beginning of this message because he realizes that it's something that he has to do. But he needs the middle of this message now. You got to make the best of what it is. You got to begin to make the best and begin to find some reason of joy in it. You have to still speak to your inner spirit and reason with it, because understand, guilt and shame and condemnation is inside of us, reasoning to us and creating death. This is what it means about warring with your members. We need to understand how to war with our members. Now, we need to come to a place of realizing that we need to do what we want to do and not be forced into doing something. So if it's something little, it's easy to say no. But if it's big and it reflects others and reflects your, you know, household or what have you, then you have to like come to an agreement and war with your members. And I hope that next week I can teach us how to war with our members, how to begin to speak to them and reason with them and begin to come to a conclusion. You might need to take a half a day because you might be at a point where you've worked so much and you're so exhausted and you maintained the level that you need and now the rest is so much excess that you have to come to a point of saying no. How many people understand that one? So we need to understand and how to work reasonably and war with the members that are constantly trying to put guilt and shame inside of us. And if we don't exercise this mystery, we develop patterns, and the members that are inside of us literally lie and wear us down, beat us down, and then they take a toll on our physical, mental, and spiritual condition. God wants us to be free. He wants us to cast all the burdens upon Him. He wants us to be light, free, and full of joy and peace and happiness, not in bondage. The gospel message should take us out of bondage. But to take us out of bondage is a process. And we have to learn the process and how to work and how to war with the members that are inside of us. The guilt and the shame is probably a very strong factor in all of our lives. Not only guilt and shame, but fear. If I had to put on categories of power, I would say fear is probably the strongest, and then guilt and shame is following in behind it. And if we don't learn how to war against these members, we're not going to be able to live a life. We're tossed around. We can go from one extreme to another extreme. But God wants us to be moderate. He wants us to be wise. He wants us to be gentle. But yet He wants us to be powerful. And what I mean by extremes, if you can understand freedom, you can run away from everything and be totally free, and then lie and say, I'm following God. God's not like that. God doesn't want you to run away from everything to try to find peace. He wants you to take responsibility. He wants you to live the life that you're supposed to live with being responsible, and then at the same time, learn how to war with members so that you can be effective and still have joy and peace and happiness. Amen? Amen. Amen. At this time, I'm going to ask one of the pastors if they would like to come up and give us a closing. Pastor Sam, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand to Pastor Sam. I know it's Mother's Day, and so I wanted to just give a little bit of a foundation of where we're heading. And understand that it's okay to be selfish, but actually we got to also understand reasons and responsibilities and learn how to war with members so that we can still be effective, but yet at the same time be free. Make the right choices in our lives. Amen? Amen. We got Mother's Day here too, and I want Sam to work with us on the mothers and all. And give us a hand of praise. Amen. For Pastor Sam.
All right. All right. I came in today and something was telling me I'm tired. I'm sitting here and saying I'm tired to Kurt, to Jim. I go up front here and I go, man, why am I so tired? To Kurt. And Kurt looks at me and he goes, because you keep saying it. And I'm like, the bell went on in my head. It's exactly what he's talking about. Being honest with yourself. Why? Who told me I was tired? And why did I believe it? Who told me I was had anxiety? Who told me I had fear? Who told me these things? Why did I believe it? It didn't come from God. There's no fear in God. There's no worry in God. It's contentment. And I didn't have it. And I was sitting there telling myself, you know, lying to myself, saying I'm tired. And every time I said it, I got more tired and more exhausted. And, you know, it's all a matter of the game in our brains. It's a game. And you literally have a choice of what you're going to believe. You have a choice. And listen to the messages in here. It gives you more of a choice. We have to have avenues to go other than the lies that are in our heads. And, you know, we've all been programmed with the world's lies, and we all have an excellent foundation of how to get the fear, how to get the worry, how to get the anxiety, with those voices in our heads telling us it's there, and it's not really there. You know, he was talking earlier about the dividing, and God said, I sent a sword to divide soul from spirit, flesh from spirit. And that's the whole goal. And the lies in our head will keep telling us that we're tired, telling us that we're exhausted, telling us we're not getting any accolades, telling us that we deserve accolades, telling us we deserve thanks. All these lies in our heads that just tell us we deserve or we need or we have these issues, and we should just be content and just tell that voice to shut up and just be grateful. And like Kurt said earlier, you know, he was complaining about his job, and he said, you know what, it could be a lot worse. It can always be a lot worse with every one of us. You know, whatever is happening in our lives, it's like Pastor Jim said two messages ago, it could always be a lot worse. Instead of a flat tire, you could have blown your engine and had no warranty. You know, it could always be worse. We have a choice. We need to stop listening to the negative and agreeing with it. And the more we agree with it, the more we create this negativity. We can actually create lies, and it'll actually create a life in front of us. You know, it'll create life or death based on our thinking. And we want to create life, amen, not death. So we really need to get these messages in us and be honest with ourselves. That's the biggest key. There's nothing else that matters besides that, because if you're not honest with yourself, who's running your life? If you're not honest with yourself, who's dictating your steps? Who's guiding your steps? Who's in front of you saying this way? Yo, come on, this is the hall. This is what right here. This way, follow me. Who are we following? Yeah, and it's causing this fear, worry, and anxiety in our lives, and we're creating more because we're agreeing with it and speaking about it and talking about it and bitching and moaning, and we're like, oh my God, why are there so many problems? Because it's all you talk about is your problems. Start talking about your victories to people. Start talking about how you overcome to yourself. Tell yourself how you overcome. When we have the fear, when we have the worry, tell yourself, this is not who I am. I'm more than a conqueror. If God is for me, who could be against me? These little truths, we think you take them lightly, but they're huge. The truth that can take a lie out of us is humongous. Anything that can remove a lie is essential. We have to have these truths to remove the lies. Amen. Before you go, please come up and grab. Okay. What's in there?
Oh man, good thing. All right, this is what we got. It's a nice, sweet gift.